McCarthyism. I'm not referring to the senator from Wisconsin. He's only important in that his name has taken on a dictionary meaning in the world.
How would you define the ism attached to the name of Joseph R. McCarthy, junior senator from Wisconsin? Well, there was Harry Truman's definition in his speech of 1953.
The corruption of truth, the abandonment of our historical devotion to fair play. It is the abandonment of due process of law. It is the use of the big lie and the unfounded accusation against any citizen in the name of Americanism and security.
And then there was the definition McCarthy favored, as stated by the man himself in an interview in November of 1951.
But putting it the way one columnist did the other day, he said, apparently McCarthyism means calling a man a communist who is later proven to be one.
Senator Joseph McCarthy had gained instant fame in February of 1950 by holding up a paper list he said contained the names of card-carrying members of the Communist Party in the State Department. It was a very specific kind of red-baiting.
There was something about the audaciousness of the accusation.
Thomas Dougherty of Brandeis University is the author of Show Trial, Hollywood, HUAC, and the Birth of the Blacklist.
The mathematical precision of his accusation that there were these precisely 205 communists that electrifies the nation.
This, of course, was a favorite and recurring technique.
I want to tell the Secretary of State this. If he wants to call me tonight at the Utah Hotel...
Though the numbers change.
I'll be glad to give him the names of those 57 card-carrying communists.
There had already been a post-World War II Red Scare in progress.
Senator Joseph McCarthy.
Now, it heated up. The late Haynes Johnson, author of The Age of Anxiety, McCarthyism to Terrorism, never forgot opening the newspaper soon after.
Just a few days after Joe McCarthy gave the speech that began the McCarthy era in West Virginia in 1950, Herb Block had a cartoon.
Herb Block was the pen name of Herbert Block, a Washington Post political cartoonist who was also widely syndicated across the country.
And there is this whole line of tar buckets with oozing tar and a reluctant elephant being pushed toward it by Republican operatives. At the very top, it was labeled McCarthyism. And the elephant is saying, you mean I have to stand on that?
The word catches on immediately and enters our vernacular as if this turbulent anti-communist atmosphere of the 1950s is like a hurricane that's at tropical storm strength. And we're looking for the word to name this phenomenon.
So now it had a name. But it's useful to remember the connection between the man and the ism.
When we talk about McCarthyism, we always associate it with a particular kind of boorishness of the man. And frankly, there is kind of a class prejudice in this. And the class undertones of McCarthy's accusations against these, you know, aristocratic Ivy Leaguers in the State Department is one of the cultural undertones of this entire era, where you have people like McCarthy, kind of a working class Irish German, and Roy Cohn, a sort of pushy New York Jewish guy, up against the aristocrats of the State Department, Yale, Harvard-educated fellows who were always configured in the McCarthy vision as sort of effete, pinkos, alien people, both ideologically and not too far under the surface sexually as well.
Sound familiar? The cultural elite as enemy, a nation split in two? McCarthy himself lasted only around half a decade in the public eye. He did a lot of damage and then sank himself live on television with the help of a few smart people who exposed his lies. He died at 48, but the ism attached to his name, characterized by undeniable power despite a complete disregard for truth, is still ours to sort out. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.